All right. Open your Bibles to James chapter number 1. James number 1. James chapter 1. It's good to be back in the pulpit here. We enjoyed our time in Nashville so much that my son got sick, Hudson. So pray for him. My wife's home with him. Brother Mel's not feeling well either. Anybody else? We have some other people that are not feeling well. Jenica Creed. There's a story behind that. That's her maiden name. Her dad was my youth pastor, so I forever remember her as Jenica Stroud. But Jenica Creed is not feeling well, and Ben's going to slip out. He's got to run home and get her some medicine. But just be in prayer for her and the family there. Mrs. Huff and her family, be in prayer for them. I talked to her this week. Her niece went to be with the Lord, I believe it was Thursday or Friday at 4 o'clock. It was all of a sudden type thing. She's 52 years old. So just be in prayer for them. I have a 15-year-old daughter that's adopted and a husband, family. So just be in prayer for that family. James chapter 1. Boy, I tell you, James is packed full of great principles, isn't it? And I tell you what, we could just put our finger at any verse and preach on that, and I could probably do a series on that one verse. What a great book James is. But we're going to go to James chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse number 8. It's a short verse, but the whole sermon is going to be on one verse. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's read that together. Read that together. Ready? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to deal with this thought this morning as we go into the new year. You're making changes, you're making choices. We're going to the new year. Listen to this. The freedom of stability. The freedom of stability. Lord, be with us this morning. Do what I cannot do. Lord, this is your pulpit. Your word, your message. Do with it as you will. Help the hearts this morning. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's just not sure if they die, they go to heaven, Lord, I pray today will be the day of their salvation. I pray they won't linger anymore. But Lord, they'll get that right. Give me strength, give me power to preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are three speeds pilots use during takeoff. Three different speeds. The first one is the decision speed. That's at which stopping is no longer possible. And the airplane is committed to fly. This is known as V1. The second speed is when the nose should be raised and the airplane is rotated into the climb altitude known as VR. When the airplane attains the VR speed, the pilot who is not manipulating the controls calls rotate. Then the flying pilot applies aft yoke or side stick to raise the nose. V1 is the speed by which time the decision to continue flight if an engine fails has been made. It can be said that V1 is the commit to fly speed. And I'll tell you, as Christians, we're right there. We need to commit. We're in that decision point. The Bible teaches us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. As Christians, we find ourselves having to make decisions all the time. How many of you made a decision even today? You're here at church, why? Because you made a decision to wake up. All right? After dismissing that alarm clock four times, and don't lie, you made a decision to wake up, to get ready, to get in your car, and to be faithful to church. Amen? Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for making that decision. How many of you are on vacation? Right? You're on vacation. We have many on vacation. I thank God for the character and integrity to not take vacation from church. Thank you so much for being here. Even on vacation, you come to church. That's wonderful. That's a decision. That's a committed decision. How many of you made a decision to buy somebody a present this Christmas? How many of you, that was a bad decision? You should have bought something else, right? I mean, you think that's a good decision, but the other person, you know it's not a good decision. Re-gift it next year, okay? It's okay to re-gift. That's okay. Just don't sell it in a yard sale, okay? That's the rule. If you get something you don't like, you can re-gift it, but you cannot earn money off of it, okay? That's not biblical, just my opinion, all right? But you made a decision to get that gift. You bought that gift. I am really bad at deciding what gifts to give. So I thank God for gift cards. Amen? How many of you are with me? You thank the Lord for gift cards. You can make that decision easy. It's a gift card, right? What a great decision. And you've committed to that decision. How many of you ever had buyer's remorse? Huh? Yeah, I've had that too, right? Aren't you glad for those receipts, those gift receipts? You got those? Yeah, you have buyer's remorse. You're ready to, I got to take it back. I know going shopping with my wife, you know, it's very difficult for men to go shopping with ladies. Why? Because there's so much to choose from. And we're just like, come on, commit already, right? I mean, we're ready to go. Let's get out the door. I want to commit to Chick-fil-A. Let's go. It's difficult sometimes, but decisions in the Christian life, spiritual decisions is what God is dealing with here. Making the right choice. And Christians come to the point where we have to make a decision, the right decision. God gives us principles and laws in His Word to help us make those decisions. And what happens is Christians, we get to the point where we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And we're double-minded. We're stuck. I want to help you this morning by, number one, the picture of double-mindedness. What is double-mindedness? Well, synonyms, I looked up on Google, thank the Lord for Google. The synonyms for double-mindedness is fickle, spineless, hesitant. This is my favorite, dilly-dallying. Uncertain, unresolved, shifty, irresponsible, undecided, yellow. Threw in a color there. Erratic, half-hearted, unwilling, unsure, impulsive, tentative, indecisive, fly-by-night, undependable. Undependable. Now, the term we see in James, the word here that we see, double-minded, it gives us this sort of indecisiveness. Indecisiveness. It is the thought of being caught between two desires. Between two desires. How do we get to that point? Think about this. How do we as Christians become double-minded? How do we get there? We're at that point. Maybe you're sitting here this morning. Maybe you're not a Christian. But how do we get double-minded? Well, number one, we get double-minded when we have too many resources of information. Too many resources of information. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, if you'll turn here real quick. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, I want you to see this. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, just a few pages to your left. Galatians chapter 5, I want you to see verse 1. It says the first two words are very clear, and it's the very opposite of double-mindedness. What is that? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What does that word entangled mean? Huh? I think of how many of you got your lights out this Christmas? Christmas lights. How many of you found they weren't put up right last year, right? Oh boy, it's going to take longer than I thought. They're just all tangled up. Well, that's kind of like how we are inside of the Christmas lights. We're all entangled with where we came from. We talked about Joshua this past Wednesday and how Joshua was coming face to face with the leaders of Israel. And coming face to face with the leaders of Israel, he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And he talks about the gods of Egypt. Now think about this with me. These leaders of Israel who have seen God take care of these gods of Egypt, I mean wipe them out, take care of the strongest army in the world, the Egyptian army. And with the plagues, he dismissed each and every god that Egypt served with the 10 plagues. And they still were entangled with those Egyptian gods. And Joshua had to stand up and say, "As for me and my house, we're not going to be entangled with the world or with God." Many times as Christians, we have so many resources that we go to. Too many resources that we go to. And it causes us to be double-minded. May I say this morning, as a Christian, we ought to be standing firm on the Word of God. And this is what we ought to be entangled with. This is what we ought to be saturated with. Now listen, you say, "Pastor Creed, are you saying don't read anything but the Bible?" No, that's not what I'm saying. I believe in good books. I believe in books that will help you. In fact, there's some books on my shelf that were written by people that I probably wouldn't have in this pulpit to preach, but I read them, and they have good things in them. But sometimes we get to the point where we start entangling ourselves with the worldly thoughts and the worldly philosophies, and we start thinking, "Well, I wonder which one's right, which one's wrong." And we need to stand firm on what the Bible teaches us. What source of information do we have? What source of information are you standing on? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Then verse 14, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with" what? I don't even know that one. It's truth. It's truth. How do you not become double-minded? You stand with truth. You know the Bible, and you stand with the Bible. You know the Word of God, and you stand with the Word of God. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." We have too many resources or sources of information. Number two, how do I become double-minded when I seek counsel from different sources? When I seek counsel from many different sources. Now, I believe in biblical counsel. I firmly believe in biblical counsel. By the way, I believe that you ought to have biblical counsel before you go to a psychiatrist. I know there are things that I cannot handle, but I know God can handle it. And I believe that we should always seek help from God through His Word as His children. But there's danger zones when people do not obey the counsel of God. When people do not obey the counsel of God, that's a danger zone. We see ourselves and we need help and we need to know a direction we need to go. And where do we go for help? Well, you might have godly parents. You might have a pastor. You might have a Sunday school teacher. You might have a youth pastor. You might have a pastor friend that you know to give you some godly counsel that's biblical. But watch this. Once you get that godly counsel that's biblical, many times we say, "That's not what I was looking for. That's not really what I really wanted to hear." I've heard this before. "I'm not really feeling that, Pastor." And we don't heed the counsel. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 30 says, "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." Proverbs 11, 14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. They are established, and we want to be established. We don't want to be double-minded. Here's another danger zone: when people seek counsel from other places. See, when we get to seeking counsel to fancy our opinions, we start seeking counsel to hear what we want to hear. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 33, verse 11, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Be careful when you start seeking counsel with these words: "Well, I really think," or, "Well, you know, in my opinion," the best counsel will come from, you know, "The Bible says, the Word of God says this. Here's a principle from God's Word." And we find ourselves being double-minded when we go to the wrong counsel. And now we're at a fork in the road. And we have our friends telling us what we want to hear. And we have biblical counsel telling us the Word of God. Which way do we go? Which way do we go? Just because they're your friends and they have an opinion doesn't mean that they are going to give you godly counsel. When people only seek to counsel what they want to hear. You know, for 2 Timothy 4:3 says this: "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers," listen to this, "having itching ears." What does that mean? I want you to tell me what I want to hear. See, many people try to go to counsel, and they try to they want to get counsel, but they already have their mind made up. They already have what they're going to do. They already know what they're going to do. So they come to get counsel, and they didn't hear what they wanted to do with that counselor, so they went to another counselor. They didn't quite get it with that counsel. They went to another counsel. Finally, they end up with somebody that tells them exactly what they want to hear. They're like, "There it is. That confirms it. That's what I'll do." It causes us to go down the wrong path. We become double-minded. When I have the wrong influence in my life. How am I double-minded, Pastor Creed? How do I get to the point where I'm double-minded? When you have the wrong influences in your life. We just finished a series on Wednesday night of your thought life. Your thoughts produce what? Your emotions. Your emotions produce what? Your behavior. Now, what is influencing those thoughts? Because what's influencing those thoughts will eventually influence that behavior. It's important that we have the right influences. He's talking about a divided interest here. That word double-minded is talking about a divided interest. It's a thought of coming to the fork in the road and just standing there and saying, "Well, you know, I kind of want to go both ways. Let me go down here and see what's down here. Let me go down here. I don't find what I want on this path, so let me go to this path. I've reached a wall on this path, and so I'm going to go back and go to this path." And jumping back and forth, and you have two different interests. In Psalms chapter 101, it says, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing." Did you hear that? "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." Then it continues in verse 4, "A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." What are your influences? Well, I don't want to be double-minded, do you? I don't want to be double-minded. I want to follow the Word of God. I want the right kind of counsel, the biblical counsel. And I want the right kind of influences. If I'm not going to be double-minded, then I'm going to stand on the Word of God. If I'm not going to be double-minded, then guess what? I'm going to go to the right biblical counsel. It may not be what I want to hear, but I'm going to have the right biblical counsel. And if I'm not going to be double-minded, if I'm going to be established, if I'm going to be firm and stable and have that freedom of stability, then I'm going to have the right kind of influences in my life. I will not set any wicked thing before mine eyes. But the position of double-mindedness, I want to talk to you about the position of double-mindedness. Where does double-mindedness take us? The position of double-mindedness is a very dangerous place to be. So, here's some things we need to be settled about. Number one, I pray that everybody here is settled about your salvation. I pray that your salvation is settled. You say, Pastor Creed, can I really be settled with my salvation? Can I really know that I'm going to heaven? 1 John 5 says this in verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now listen to this. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The most miserable place on earth for a human being is a state of being lost. Not knowing where you're going to go when you die. Now understand, death can happen very quickly. A pastor younger than I, right after Christmas this year, feeling dizzy, went and laid down and went home to be with the Lord. Six children and a wife. See, death is no respecter of people, age. And how much freedom can you have when you are stable in your salvation? When you know that you know that you know, when you die, you're going to heaven. And the Bible teaches us that you can know. That you can know. You say, how can I know? The Bible tells us that it's very simple, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're at that V1 decision. It's either go up or stay grounded. When it comes to salvation, there may be somebody in here that's at that position. Maybe you've been battling it for a while. Maybe you've been arguing with yourself or arguing with somebody that's trying to teach you about the gospel. Maybe you've been fighting this battle for a long time. I wonder this morning if you would decide to just go ahead and wave that white flag and say, Lord, come into my heart and save me. I wonder if you'd be willing just to go ahead and commit. Quit being double-minded when it comes to this salvation. And be settled in the salvation. We ought to be settled with our service. We talked about Joshua. It was amazing what Joshua was presenting them. He said, very simple, you're either going to serve other gods, dead gods, that can't do anything for you, that's never done anything for you, or you're going to serve the God of the Bible. You're going to serve our God, the one true God. That's it. I wonder if you'd be settled in your service. Settled in your service. Verse 15 of Joshua 24, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. There wasn't an ounce of double-mindedness in that, was there? Serve the Lord. God has put things in my heart as a pastor for this church. A vision. God does that with pastors. That's one of the reasons God gives churches, pastors, to give the church a vision and help the church and direct the church. Kind of as a shepherd, an under-shepherd. And God has put in my heart a vision for Temple Baptist Church. You say, what, Pastor Creed, all you need is money? No. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Here's what this church needs. This church needs the members of this church to say, I'm 100% committed to serving God here at Temple Baptist Church. You know what I want to do? I want to start a Reformers Unanimous ministry here at Temple Baptist Church. You say, what is that? We have people raise their hand and pray because there's drug abuse rampant through Asheville. There's breweries popping up everywhere around here. People are addicted to alcohol and drugs and pornography, and they need somewhere to go. Do you think the lost world's going to help them? Now, here's the problem. They are committed to serve them, but they don't have the right resource. We have the right resource, but are we committed to serve? You say, what does that mean, Pastor Creed? I need somebody to lead that program. I need somebody to commit every Friday night of their life to those people. Now think about that for a second. What about my family? You can bring your family with you. That's a commitment, isn't it? Boy, I thank God for the Boyers. Been here 20 years. Last night he was up there playing basketball. I was praying he didn't blow out his ACL. He's probably the best one on the court, too. I'm thankful for men like Brother Boyer who's committed. I'm thankful for the Chapmans who's committed for missions to this church. And by the way, it shows in those areas when you have people who are committed to it. In those areas, missions are going up. You look at the teen calendar, it's full. God's blessing these teenagers. You see these teenagers, Jared's up here leading the choir. A junior in high school. Why? Because there's a youth pastor that's committed to serve. And we need Christians who are committed to serve, because God has some great things for this church to reach and do some great things in this community, but we need people to step up and say, I will serve, I'll be committed. I'm not going to be double-minded about this. I'm going to go for it. Whatever God has for me, however God wants to lead me, I will serve. By the way, not just a leader in RU. We need helpers and counselors who will give up their Friday night. What happens on Friday night in RU? People cook dinners for these people and feed them and have to clean up after them. What? Pastor Creed, that is a lot of work on a Friday night. Yes, it is. You say, what else, Pastor Creed? Boy, I love the bus ministry. The bus ministry is a commitment, isn't it? Huh? How many buses do you see out in our parking lot? Huh? 3. How many buses went out and picked up people this morning? This many. How many people are in their home right now, not knowing for sure when they die they go to heaven, could have used a bus from Temple Baptist Church to drive by and pick them up and bring them to church? But here's what we need. We need somebody saying, I'm committed to give my life to that bus ministry. And I'll go. I'll go. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to overcommit. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus overcommit? Was Jesus double-minded when he saw the cross? And he saw all that he had to go through just for you? No, he wasn't double-minded. He said, whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you want. We need to be stable. Stable. Salvation in our service. I want to move on. Number 3, there's the problem of double-mindedness. We see in verse 8, double-minded man is unstable. Double-minded, we talked about that. We talked about the instability. And let's talk about this thought and all his ways. Being unstable it affects every aspect of your life. And James chapter 4, just a couple pages over, James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will what? Draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Jared, why don't you come on up here? I'm going to show you this. Come on, you don't need your Bible. You can just stand right there. Jared, here's what you're a Christian and I'm God. Okay? Now here's what this means. Very simple. All right? I'm God and you're going to take a step toward me. There you go. Stop. Now when he draws nigh to me, guess what God does? He draws nigh to you. Okay? Take a step. And then God draws nigh to you. You can take a step. Good to see you, Jared. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful truth? But God is waiting for us to take that step and commit that step. And God wants to draw nigh to us. Thank you, Jared. I appreciate that. But then look at this second part of that verse. Here's the steps. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. God wants to use you. What kind of vessel are you? Are you a clean vessel for God? But then there's purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Why does it say purify your hearts, ye double-minded? Because being double-minded affects not only the outward man, but the inward man. It is unrighteousness in the heart. Why is being double-minded such a sin? Because it goes against Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You're at that fork in the road. You're a Christian and you're at that fork in the road. And you either trust God or not. You either trust God or not. I want you to understand that prayer is important. We ought to commit to pray and ask God what his will for our lives are. But when we know what God wants us to do, it's not time to stand and wait. It's time to do what God wants us to do. Last January, it was in the Arman Hanatziv neighborhood of Jerusalem, a truck that was driven by a terrorist ran into a group of soldiers, killing 4 and injuring 15. There were multiple witnesses that reported they saw the truck out of control. Knowing that it was a terrorist, these witnesses saw, and they were waiting for the soldiers to take fire. They had aim. They thought their guns were jammed, but investigations showed their guns were not jammed. Here's what happened. They hesitated. Many of the witnesses says, there are people dead and injured because of hesitation. Let me ask you this. How long will Temple Baptist Church hesitate? It's time to move forward. We are armed with the gospel. It's time to fire. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. What an opportunity we have to be surrendered to you. Lord, I pray for those that are in this auditorium right now who's dealing with the sin of double-mindedness. Lord, I pray that you'll help them. Maybe it's in the area of salvation. Maybe it's in the area of service. Lord, I pray that you will help them commit and make the decision they need to make. We turn this invitation to you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that would say, Pastor Creed, I don't know for sure. Boy, if today was my last day on earth, if I was the one that was feeling dizzy and I went to lay down and that was my last time being conscious and breathing, and I would be dead. Say, Pastor Creed, I don't know where I would be. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But would you let me pray for you? Say, Pastor Creed, would you just pray for me? Would you slip your hand right up and right back down? No one's looking around but me and God. And I just want to pray for you. Say, that's me. Would you just slip your hand up and right back down? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I would say, Pastor Creed, I know 100% that if I were to die today, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I'm raising my hand nice and high. Thank you. Many hands up. What about service? What about your marriage? What about your kids? Youth, teens, kids, what about school? Are you committed to doing what God wants you to do? Or are you double-minded? So, Pastor Creed, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me? Hands up all over. Yes. Now we're at a V1 decision, aren't we? Because we're going to have an invitation and the altar is going to be open. You say, Pastor Creed, I can just sit right here and not worry about a thing. But if I go forward, boy, people are going to see me. Don't worry what people think about you. Worry what people think about God. And I wonder if you wouldn't be double-minded and you say, well, it's a step of faith, a step of humility. I'm coming out, I'm coming to the altar, and I'm going to do business with God this morning. Lord, I saw the hands, but you see the heart. Please do your work. We give this invitation to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hymn number 489. 489, the words are this: I surrender all. That sounds pretty stable, doesn't it? I surrender all. Let's all stand. If God spoke to your heart, you come. I surrender all. As the piano plays and Jared sings.